Death Curse Society. Horror news, commentary, reviews, and a sadistic slash of humor. Featuring your host, Red Crank, the Colonel, and Zigzag. Join the society. Yeah. Oh, in the optic
glass. Woo! We're back with more Death Curse Society. And guys, we're changing up the show format a little bit this time, so bear with us on this. I'm your host, Red Crank. I got the Colonel, and I got Zigzag.
Damn it.
That's all you got to say about this?
That's it.
Damn it. Okay.
That's it. What else is there to say?
Well, we got a lot to say because we got a movie to review here in a minute. But before we get to that, don't forget to hit that subscription bell on YouTube and follow us on social media. You know what's going on, guys. I just woke up literally to record this. It's kind of like a nightmare wakes. Let's go camping.
Okay, you big hunk of a man, come and get me.
Let's go camping this time around. We just got finished looking at the new movie on Shudder, A Nightmare Wakes, from director and writer Nora Unkle. The synopsis is, it's an adaptation of the novel Frankenstein as told through the life of Mary Shelley. As she creates her masterpiece, she gives birth to a monster. Colonel, I already kind of have a feeling where you're going to go with this, but give me your initial thoughts on A Nightmare Wakes.
A Nightmare Wakes. Should be called A Nightmare Sleeps, because that's about what it fucking did to me. About knocked me out. Working long hours at my day job. That was not the movie to start off my Saturday night with. Just to be honest with you guys. Funny thing, it just wasn't terrible. I just didn't find it good. Historic accurate enough, but okay, I dig it. There's also some historical inaccuracies where I was kind of like, kind of took me out a little bit. And it was a long buildup to somewhat of a decent payoff. But by that point, it was too little, too late. Honestly, the highlight for me was the score.
How about you, Ziggy? Maybe a little bit of a different opinion?
No, man. This was actually quite good. I thought it was actually a decent movie. Now, this isn't for everybody. This kind of storytelling and what this material is, but it is a pretty good depiction of somebody that has a story inside of them that's going to come out no matter what. Some of the inspirations, when you look at it, and then this caused Frankenstein by their storytelling in this movie, it's kind of like, all right, you know, but I mean, it is cool watching her come into actual scenes and quotes from the book and everything. And it is cool. I dug it. I really dug the character, Mary Shelley, in this movie. But then again, it does get a little bit squirrely at times. And then it does give you a pretty good payoff at the end. And okay, you can walk away satisfied. It's not necessarily horror outside of its the genesis of Frankenstein, in a way. Right. I mean, it is very good storytelling, and it is neat to see her have these epiphanies about what she's going to write and why. The blurring of the lines of her writing and her real world, that's kind of what the issue is here, and some of the choices were kind of half-baked.
Well, that leads me to my first question here, but I kind of want to say a couple of things first, what you just mentioned anyway. Frankenstein, as many of you probably know, is told through the eyes of Victor, but there are a lot of themes of motherhood and femininity within the novel. They're somewhat underlying in some cases, but this movie really brings those themes to light a lot more. What a lot of people don't know about Mary Shelley was she had gone through multiple miscarriages in her life before and even while she was writing Frankenstein. I like the way they personified that. Colonel, we may get into some of the historical inaccuracies here in a minute that I want to discuss with you, but the thing that bothered me most about this movie is that it was billed as a horror movie. It was put on a horror channel and billed as kind of an adaptation of Frankenstein. I can see loosely based on Frankenstein, but that's my question to you guys. Would this have been better billed as more of a historical drama rather than horror?
The whole time I was watching this, I was wishing this was more of a true-to-life biopic, kind of retelling the story reality-wise, you know, not within what they thought she might have been thinking or going through. Let's get the facts and make that movie, tell that story without the squirreliness. It is good, though. I mean, but man, it's just, yeah, you start, there's no way you can sit there and go like, well, now that really happened, you know, because it didn't.
Right. I think this movie was fairly true to a majority of Mary Shelley's life and even Percy Shelley, and the inclusion of even Lord Byron was kind of neat. I mean, we've seen this before in other biopics.
Let me just say, the men in this time period, you pretentious douchebags, fucking pompous fucking idiots. What the fuck, man? How did civilization continue with these douches? If the women weren't just submissive back then, like, and just let everything happen, like they kind of do in this movie, I wonder, man, because these dudes are just like, holy shit, you think you know some morons and idiots out there now? Watch this movie, you'll be like, yeah.
Well, keep in mind, you could also, as a man at least, feed your family and put a roof over your head writing poetry. Colonel, what about you? Better as a historical drama or a horror film?
Definitely way better as a historical drama. I'm trying to think what to say because Ag's kind of going all over the place with this thing, so there's not much left for me to say about it.
You thunder stealing prick, you?
Yeah, this isn't Monday. Damn it. How you seen the story was conceived in her mind was kind of unnecessary, even though you understood why as the story was going on. It's just unnecessary. Damn it. It's like that's where they were trying to put the horror in. If it wasn't them trying to force the horror into the story, I would have been a little more open to it. God damn it. I didn't have anybody root for watching this fucking horror movie because I didn't care for any character. Now, but autobiographical, you know, hey, this is how it was. Sure, okay, maybe I could relate a little more to Mary Shelley, but in this movie, I couldn't do it. All the characters were fucking terrible. They're all bad people. She was likable at first, and then she kind of started going into her madness, really not being a mother, letting her sister, you know, stepsister in real life, kind of be the midwife for her baby. That's just when I was kind of like, yeah, I'm done with her.
Point out some of the historical inaccuracies that you were talking about that you noticed that set you off in this.
Well, for one, like I said, they called her sister, truly her stepsister. That's fine. I can overlook that one. But what really got me is, okay, yes, they all were trapped inside. Let's see if you can write the best, you know, ghost story. That is true. But it wasn't during a fucking rainstorm. It was when they were vacationing in, Switzerland. The year without a summer. We all know this. And many ice age in the early 1800s. They literally had no summer. They were trapped inside vacationing in July. And this fucking snow. That's when they came with the idea to write these stories. They had like one scene in the fucking snow. You read the fucking novel. It's ice. Mm-hmm. I mean, the monster drifts away on a fucking iceberg. You know what I mean? Fucking Yukon Cornelius is that shit and gets the fuck out. There's no ice in this fucking movie. No. Yeah, like one snowstorm. The rest of it was storms and rain. And
it's one person's vision, one person's interpretation of what, you know, they wanted to make a movie. And this is, I mean, the stuff where she has the actual story coming out of her in different ways, that was cool. I dug the metaphors and shit they had with that. That was cool. Mm-hmm. And it was done well. This one looked way better than The Pale Door did for as far as period piece. Man, if you've ever been to an old school, like a lot, they're around the country. Like here we have Greenfield Village where it's all the old school, that time period. And when you walk into the building, you hear those floors doing that. I mean, it sounds like you're walking with microphones on your feet in an echo chamber. It felt legit.
I thought this was expertly acted. And honestly, I thought this was a brilliant script. I got finished with the movie and I did a little more research onto it. I found out that it was a Academy Awards Nichols Fellow and had been listed as top 10 on a couple of different lists for the last year. Kudos to Nora Uncle for that. That's a huge feat as a filmmaker and as a screenwriter. And especially the script being about something that's not so well known of a topic like Mary Shelley's actual life. I like the script and her going against the odds in a male-dominated society, leaving an indelible mark on horror literature forever. I thought that was a good telling. And I enjoyed the way Nora Uncle laid the script out. I do want to talk a little bit more about, and you guys have already touched on it, but the visualizations of Mary Shelley writing the book, coming up with dialogue and creating scenes in her mind and everything. I like that representation of a writer's journey, because creating characters out of thin air, talking to themselves. As a writer myself, I appreciated that because I can easily relate to the imagery that's captured on there. When I'm working on a project or when I'm writing, I'm pacing around the room. I'm all over the house, just spinning and thinking of things. And this captured that in a way. I kind of feel like Nora Uncle herself may be the same way. She's pacing around her little New York City apartment or wherever and just coming up with scenes for this movie. But you said that threw you off, Colonel, or?
I think it was overdone. And I understand the reason why they did it. Because at the beginning of the movie, they're talking about, like, what kind of dark depths of your mind do you have to reach to write a story like this? And she went there. Mm-hmm. It just felt way overdone. I mean, I understood, every time she saw Victor, it was Percy. And when she saw Elizabeth, it was her stepsister. She was taking people around and kind of, okay, this is the love story I wish I had with Percy, blah, 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 blah. Because obviously, we all know she was a mistress for many years before he actually married her. And then seeing herself as the monster, I get what they're going for. It just didn't work for me like it did for you guys. Felt forced.
What did I say at the beginning of it? This one was not going to be for everybody. Right. This kind of storytelling, and this is what we're seeing here with Colonel, I think. There's a quick scene where she's looking at blank pages and she's like actually weeping, but it's ink coming out of her. You know what I mean? It's little stuff like that, but it's real powerful, man. The way it comes is like there's a monster inside her that's coming out, a great story. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, but we've seen the ink imagery throughout the entire fucking movie. That's what I'm saying. It's overdone. It lost its power halfway through.
It's that big a story.
It is not that big of a story because it just kept going and going and going and going and going. It's like, I get it.
I didn't feel like it was overdone personally, but again, maybe the writer in me is just giving a little bit of a pass on that. One thing that Ziggy's already mentioned, right, this movie is not for everybody. Do not go into this thinking it's a horror movie, because it's really not. Just because it's on Shudder, this is different. And if you're not a fan of period pieces, you're probably not going to like this movie. Another thing that I think is fighting this movie a little bit, and I almost hate to bring it up, but I'm going to, is the overall women's tone. I mean, here we are, three men watching and reviewing this movie. We may not appreciate it as much as a female audience would. Do you think that makes a difference in moviegoers' minds at all, Ziggy?
I don't care who directs it or why. I mean, I see the story and how it affects me. That's how I'm going to react to it. I'll say this, though, but the men are really a bunch of boobs in this. And the character of Mary Shelley herself, very strong, very powerful, but she a bit paranoid and a bit, suspicious and shit, while this is all happening. It's done very well. I don't feel like there was a girl power message, like overall ruining it like that, like forced in. Not at all. No.
I'm not really saying a girl power message, but I mean, we don't know what it's like to be mothers. We don't know what it's like to carry a child within us as men. There's a stronger connection between a mother and child, and this movie really plays that out quite a bit. So, Colonel, does that hinder your ability to review this at all?
On a biological sense, yes. I don't know what it's like to have a child grow inside me and lose it. I imagine they fucking lose it too, mentally, going through that. I can imagine that pain. Having to go through that. So maybe there's a woman watching the movie that has, she's going to relate to this more than I ever fucking will, or I ever could. Because like I said, biologically, I just can't do it. But kind of agree with Zach too. We're also looking at this movie, how we feel. It's no different than, say, these poor women having to watch fucking Cobra, with Stallone. We're going to relate to it a hell of a lot more than, Julie down the street. It's a terrible example, but it's a fucking example nonetheless. It's
just... Oh, Colonel, during a review of a literary masterpiece like A Nightmare Wakes, could bring up Stallone's Cobra, ladies and gentlemen. Ziggy,
well, they're the disease, and he's the fucking cure. I just want to say this. You got to remember, her name didn't appear on the pressing So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. It's exactly. Like, the book came big, and they're like, okay, we'll put her name on. So, they gave her a little fucking crumb, like, here you go. Good girl, which is fucking ridiculous.
Exactly.
I'll be honest, women are smarter than us.
I can appreciate the miscarriages, you know, causing, you know, it's like the perfect storm. All these things had to happen to harvest what came out of it. She had to go there, as Colonel said earlier, to mine it, to get it, to get to it, the darkness. One scene I did kind of find a little odd is when she had the baby. She didn't want to, this isn't my baby. I thought that was a bit weird, you know, that whole thing that was going down. So,
to be honest, this is not something I thought while I was watching the film. It literally just happened from this discussion. We also have postpartum depression, something none of us can even understand.
Right.
So it's kind of like, as we're talking about it now, I'm starting to look back, like when I watched the movie last night, and well, yeah, I kind of crucified this character for being like that. And it's like, well, I didn't even think, because again, I'm a man.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring this topic up. We don't get too serious very often on Death Curse Society. We'll admit that. But this is one of those movies that I kind of wanted to twist a little bit and dig a little deeper on, because I think there's a lot more to this movie than many people are going to get out of it. Even some reviewers that I've already seen. I saw one guy that reviewed it one night and literally watched it again. The next day released a video reviewing it again, going, man, I was wrong yesterday. You know,
I missed a bunch of things.
I missed a bunch of shit. Exactly. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I didn't expect that for one thing. And two, kudos to that guy. I wish I could remember his name right now. I would give him a shout out. Kudos to that guy for going back and saying, you know what? Like Colonel did, I crucified this movie last night. I'm fixing myself today and saying, no, this is not that bad. You just have to look at it from a different perspective. Anyway, I appreciate the serious discussion that we got to have with this. The rest of the time, gentlemen, go fuck yourself. Ziggy, how about you get us started with a rating on this one?
It's a good movie, not necessarily a horror movie. Got to lose a couple just on that, just that it's not a horror movie. Comprise it all together and say 6.5.
My score has gone up a little bit after our discussion. I still found the movie boring, even with our discussion, maybe getting a better understanding from a different point of view, because I did watch it through my lens. Like I said, being a period piece is all accurate, but you know, clothing-wise, all that. I want to still go middle road and just give it a 5, because I can't say just talking about it. Because I originally was like, fuck this movie. I'm going to give it like a 3.5 or 4, because I found it that boring. I still find it boring, but you guys talked to me to bring it up at least a point, at least middle of the road. I think it's fair enough.
My lobbying tactics worked. No. Yeah, it's not necessarily a horror movie, so on a horror channel, it's not going to get rated as high. Now you got me struggling. I'm struggling with this number, but I'm going to stick it with a 7, I think. I love shit like this, though. I told you guys when we talked about the Shudder releases in en masse that this was the one I was most probably looking forward to, because I love that gothic period shit. I love that little bit of history smattered in there with it, you know? I love it. And this one was pretty fucking good, I'll be honest. I'm really looking forward to seeing what else this writer and this director, Nora Uncle, has to bring up. I think she's got a promising career. So yeah, we got a 5, a 6.5, and a 7 for A Nightmare Wakes, which is available right now on Shudder for you guys to watch. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Are we just completely wrong? Are we stupid? Are we just dumb men that don't get the movie? Maybe, but you let us know in the comments. And that's going to wrap it up for Let's Go Camping.
I'll be right back. Don't get dressed.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, holy.
Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Bravo. Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hack. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome, guys. So, super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Hello, how's it going? I'm Rian Reese, and you are watching Death Curse Society.
Welcome back to Death Curse Society, guys. Thanks for sticking around. We've got a lot to talk to you about here. We're going to space it out a little bit, though, this time, so stay tuned for that. It's time for some stories around the campfire. Yaw!
Yeah! Yeah!
No? I don't know. First up on Stories Around the Campfire, another movie that's on Shudder that we just checked out is The Queen of Black Magic. Families were terrorized at the orphanage. Someone wants them dead, apparently with black magic that is very deadly. She has a grudge, and she was also born because of the sins of the orphans who formed her into the Queen of Black Magic. Ooh. Spooky, spooky synopsis coming to you right there. The synopsis does not set this movie up well at all. Colonel, let us know what you thought of The Queen of Black Magic.
I will admit from the start, I have still yet to see the original release from 1981, I believe. Now, this is what I'm expecting from these Shudder exclusives / originals. This was a decent ghost story-ish.
Sort of.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it had a few drawbacks. The story started off great. I was really digging it. It had some issues with the CGI. Looked terrible. It was still on par with sci-fi originals. I dug it. I did not know Indonesians had a big fear of bugs. Okay, I learned something new. Good job, because obviously that's what terrifies these people the most. The last act of the movie, did it go from like good quality production to where it looked like it was just filmed on a fucking iPhone for the last act? It's like something about the cinematography changed. Like, it looked different to me. It had pretty good, decent payoff. Little twist at the end. Well, not really a twist, but it sets up well for a sequel. And like I said, overall, I think it was a good ghostish paying for the sins of your father movie.
Colonel's hot take right there. How about you, Ziggy? What'd you think of this one?
When I came into this one, I had no idea this was a remake from a 1981 film. You kind of see some of the prime cuts during the credits. If you stood for the credits, you can see some of the cool fucking effects they did and some of the cheesier ones from the earlier one. So I definitely am going to seek that out and check it out. This remake, however, pretty damn scary and pretty effective. The story is good. It has a twist that you can follow and get behind, actually. The black magic stuff is super creepy and unnerving. Indonesia, man, I got to give you hats off. Well done, man. I'd give you a golf clap if we were on the Monday.
Golf clap? Golf clap.
Because this is a good, scary movie, and it was a nice shot in the arm after the first couple we watched out of their 10 in 10 weeks, whatever the fuck they're doing.
I thought this was a pretty fascinating mystery story wrapped in a horror movie. Everybody has their secrets in this film. And I thought that was a good little touch to add. It was very well done, very engaging, especially once the magic begins, if you know what I mean by that. You know, there is a lot of setup at the beginning, and you need that for the characters. Once that magic kicks in, man, it's a ride then. Since Ziggy asked, I believe the original is also on Shudder. But yeah, I thought this one was a lot of fun. The CGI, I didn't really mind that much. It didn't really take me out of the movie. I thought the kid actors, the younger actors especially, were very good. I did not mind the language barrier at all. I was able to follow along very simply with the story. I thought it was just a well-done film. I really dug this. I don't know why. I don't know what else to say about it.
At one point in the story, when the major twist is revealed, things are going so fucked up and so crazy, the characters are actually sometimes speak English, full sentences, in the middle of all this Indonesian. It's that kind of crazy. You're speaking a different language that's not your language.
The first time I was like, did I hear that right?
Yeah, I did too. I did the same thing.
Like, as it went on, I was like, oh, it's cool knowing that okay is pronounced okay in Indonesia.
I don't know about all that, but no, okay. That was kind of an interesting little weird thing that I noticed as well. Like, there was just one point where I was like, yeah, that was English. Weird. Okay.
Happened.
Out of the blue, just one line in the middle of like that first act. Just whoop. Did I hear that? You mentioned earlier the cinematography got a little weird. Maybe it's because the action gets so intense and that was more intentional, was, you know, more camera movements and shakiness.
That's what I was thinking, but like, it didn't add value to the movie. It literally it took away a little bit from me because it's such an obvious... I noticed it's so obvious to me, apparently just me alone out of the three of us.
Yeah, I didn't notice it.
That I just went, did they just do that? Like, they run out of funding and had to, like, return the rented equipment and get cheaper shit to finish the film?
That's possible, too. Yeah. All right. Pretty straightforward. Horror movie. Queen of Black Magic. Colonel, give us a rating on this one.
I said I really dug this one. It was a good witchcraft slash ghost story route there at the beginning. I was like, ooh, then it's the witch to the witchcraft. And all boils down to this is a really good paying for the sins of the father movie. I have to give it a 7.
Yeah, man, it's super entertaining. It's super creepy. I mean, they're going to keep you on the edge of your seat with this. I guess the formula's been done before, but, I mean, these actors in this film pull it off. It's believable. They look scared at times, like, for real. That black magic fucking weird shit that you always see, you know, with people burping up chickens and bugs and shit, that you get that in spades here. It's really well done. There's a scene on a bus with a bunch of kids. That one was made your hair stand up a little bit. We need more like this. If this is the kind of, if they're starting to ramp it up now in our Shudder selection of movies, you're in the right direction. Trending the right way. I'm going to give Queen of Black Magic 7.5.
I'm going to just stick it with a 7 as well, because like I mentioned to Colonel, I enjoyed the hell out of both of these movies that we've seen recently, but for completely different reasons. Not the same movie at all, but they're very good, both of them. Shudder, keep up the good work. The Queen of Black Magic, available on Shudder right now. Check it out. Let us know what you think. We're going to talk a little bit about, just announced, Friday the 13th Part 2 is getting a 40th anniversary Steelbook Edition Blu-ray coming out soon. I don't know about you guys. I don't need it. Ziggy, what do you think about this?
Man, hell no. I just blew $160-whatever on the fucking box set. Just got my replacement discs. I have the posters and the lithographs and all that shit. I don't need any more Friday the 13th on any form of media. Unless the Steelbook has some kind of clipping of the actual cloth mask he was wearing or a prong from the fucking pitchfork, I'm not interested. I'm done, man. I got it, all right?
Okay, so... guess that's not a sale for Ziggy. How about you, Colonel? You going to rush out and buy this as soon as it's released?
Oh, fuck yeah. No, I'm not. Well, I mean, I love to collect Friday the 13th shit myself, and some people really dig these steel books. I really like the art on some of these steel books. But like Zach just said, I literally just dropped $170 for the complete deluxe edition from Screen Factory. Thank you. It's fucking phenomenal. I have no desire to buy any more Friday the 13th films on immediate. No, whatever comes out next, fucking... 8K Blu-rays or some shit, then yes, and I will. There's no need, and plus, I don't want to give fucking Cunningham any more of my fucking money. Fuck you. Let's settle this shit, then maybe you can get, I can throw you a few more cents, because that's all it probably boils down to, but fuck, it's Friday the 13th, everybody buys that shit.
I think this is just bad timing, because like you guys have said, the box set just came out. Now they're releasing a steelbook. Maybe give it a year, but they're trying to capitalize on the 40th anniversary, then back it up to October, hopefully, is when it comes out, or, you know, somewhere in that area, September, October. I'm not exactly sure when the release date for this is, so that may be their plan. I'm indifferent about this. Steelbooks don't really mean that much to me. If I see a cool one every now and then, I'll pick it up, like if I'm in a store. I don't hunt them out.
Right. I mean, you start with this. You already know they have one for the first one. So, I mean, are we going to just keep going to get a 40th anniversary steelbook for every one of them at, you know what I mean, $40 a pop? Come on, man.
I think we will.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
That's a trend thing.
I don't really know what they've added to the actual content that would make it better than the one you already have, because you do have it. Let's face it. We all have 3-4 copies of it. Come on. It's all right. You can admit it. again, it have to be something spectacular in there for me to get on. I mean, even artwork at this point, I have LPs, vinyls, all different artwork on it, all awesome. But I mean, where do we draw the line?
See, here's the selling point to me with this steelbook. If we're going to alter realities a little bit, say this is where you can find the unedited kill footage. That would have literally been the only way to get me by this reason.
I agree. They already gave us everything. They
already snagged that.
There's no reason to buy this unless you really plug the steelbook.
If there was a coupon for a romantic dinner with Amy Steele included, I might go out and buy this. But
1 in 500, Crank.
Just a clue, Amy.
Would you buy all 500?
Fuck, maybe. That'd be an investment worth making. I don't see myself running out to get this. Let us know if we're wrong. Do we need to go get it? I'm not even sure if there are any other special features, like Ziggy mentioned, that make this better than Scream Factory set. I don't think there are. I don't know how there possibly could be. Friday 13th, part 2, 40th anniversary steelbook, coming out sometime this year. Stay tuned. We'll let you know more. Boring!
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
Paul Feig wants to direct a film called The Dark Army, which features all the Universal monsters and then some new original creations in a monster epic. But Universal Pictures is fighting him on this because they say it's too expensive. Are we really going to trust the Universal monsters to the guy that almost single-handedly destroyed fucking Ghostbusters? Please tell me we're not. Ziggy, start us off on this.
Does he own the rights? No. Clear it with all them first, because you're going to have to go through a hurdle with each property. Good luck, buddy. You know, but yeah, I don't know. This guy, that Ghostbusters movie, it isn't the worst movie in the world. It's just the worst Ghostbusters movie in the Ghostbusters world. Okay. So, I mean, I don't think the guy's an incompetent filmmaker, but, you know, maybe you should deliver a couple of maybe original pieces. Show us you can really do something creative and cool. Earn your way back to it, and then we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the script. I don't know what he's talking about with, you know, having all the Universal monsters. In what form? In modern form? And recreating new ones? I mean, who's going to be in charge of all that? I don't know if this guy is the guy for that.
He wants to do a classic monster movie, not the way they're doing it now. And I don't know if that was a dig at Lee Wannell and The Invisible Man. I don't know if that was a dig at what Paul Feig thought of that movie. But he said he wants to do a classic monster movie with these.
That would be a silly statement to say because Invisible Man was quite good.
Colonel, I know your love for the original Universal Monsters. I almost did not even want to include this as a topic because of your love. But then I thought, no, Colonel might unleash the rant of all rants on this motherfucker. So.
Thank you for giving me the floor.
There they go!
Actually, you know what? I can't even rant about this. I kind of support it. That's going to blow your fucking mind. I want a classic Universal Monsters movie. That's what I want. Granted...
From this guy?
I don't know if this guy could pull it off, but he can. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We get another The Mummy with Tom Cruise? I mean, I've already seen terrible fucking rehashes of the Universal Monsters. So why the fuck not? I think we're due for one. I mean, if he is knocking on the Invisible Man, which I don't perceive that he is, could be. Who knows? Well, fuck him, because that was a good fucking movie. It's about the only modern Universal monster movie that was fucking decent. So who knows? I mean, maybe with the success of the Invisible Man and if you can get everything worked out, I think it's worth the money if you can deliver.
Maybe I'm the only one that remembers the atrocity that was the Ghostbusters reboot attempt.
Well, to be fair, I'm a terrible fucking human being for this. I literally still have not watched it. I have no desire to see it. And I grew up loving the Ghostbusters. I mean, I love the movies, the real Ghostbusters cartoon. I had all the toys. I had a fucking sleeping bag. I was about the fucking Ghostbusters. And even though I was like,
You are absolutely correct to do that. Do not watch it. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. Because I felt the same way for a long time. And I probably waited 2 years after it came out before I finally just was like, God damn it. I have to see this. It can't be as bad as everyone is saying it is, right? It really can't be, right? Oh, far fucking worse. Kate fucking Suck or whatever her goddamn name is just goes in and ruins this fucking movie with her ill-conceived and ill-timed humor. No, 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 no. You do this to the fucking Universal Monsters? Fuck no. Please, God, I don't want to see this. Paul Feig, you're a talented filmmaker. I'll give you that much. But don't fucking do this. Please, for the love of God, I'm asking you. For the love of Frankenstein, for fuck's sake. I speak for Universal fans around the world and Universal Monster fans around the world, most of them. This is a bad idea. A very bad idea. I feel better now. We're not even going to talk about this anymore. Go watch Ishtar instead. One of the better movies than Ghostbusters 2016.
Wow.
That was good.
Because Creepshow has decided not to air an episode that was going to feature Marilyn Manson shortly after these abuse allegations have come out from Evan Rachel Wood. Colonel, you've seen Marilyn Manson live in concert before. Should we have seen this coming?
I would say no, because if I would have seen him back in the mid to late 90s instead of the late 20-teens, maybe. I saw bloated Marilyn Manson repeating over and over again, I'm from Ohio, look at me. He fucking sucked. So maybe we should have seen it, because it sounds like he sucks as a fucking human being too, as well as a stage performer. So I was like, the episode of Creepshow, done. Loma Vista Records, done. American Gods, and he's supposed to play a big role in that series, gone. Like, they literally have to reshoot this shit to try to figure out how to retell this story. I'm inclined to believe her, but I'm also still a firm believer in innocent until proven guilty. I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm more than likely will find out this shit is true. And you got other people coming in saying, you know, backing her up, saying, yes, he did stuff like this to me as well. Where there's smoke, there's usually a fire. I understand with the culture we're in now, the cancel culture, why he was pulled from everything. Just guilty until proven innocent anymore, especially when these type of allegations are made about any kind of abuse towards a woman. That should be taken seriously, but like I said, it's a rock and a hard place.
Do you feel that Creepshow should still air the episode and the record label should keep him and all of that?
They can't. They simply can't. I think they should. Let's take probably one of Marilyn Manson's friends, Johnny Depp, for example. They practically, his career probably just got ruined, and it turned out he was the abusee, not the abuser. They have to cut ties when any type of allegation like this is made, because if you don't, you're supporting an abuser. So I understand why they do it, especially financially.
Ziggy, what are your initial thoughts on this? Does this happen too much?
I don't know if it happens too much, but it's the cancel culture now. This is the way it goes. Like Colonel said, guilty till proven innocent. And yeah, but let's face it, Marilyn Manson has been a self-proclaimed piece of shit his whole career from the early 90s. There's been dozens of allegations against him. Rose McGowan, hell, we even heard from Corey Feldman recently, said he was, you know, kind of messed with by him too. So, I mean, this is not surprising to me. I do kind of wish everybody would come out a little quicker with some of these things, get together and get it out there, but I understand how the game is played. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of fat cats with all the money, and if you want to have any chance at it, you got to keep your fucking mouth shut. So that shit seems to be over now. As far as him getting kicked off all these shows and everything, he's not that great of an actor anyway. I won't miss him. I guess that whole episode's done. They're not even going to show it. Maybe somewhere up the road we'll see it, but this guy, you know, he'll probably end up hanging in a fucking closet somewhere. But I mean, hey, if you're that kind of scumbag doing the kind of things you're alleged doing, you know, let's give him his day in court and figure it all out. And then if it's proven he is a piece of shit scumbag like we all think, then yeah, let's go ahead and proceed with, you know, burning the records and anything, posters, whatever you want to do.
The other side of the coin is, if all the allegations are proven faulty or misleading or just flat out lies, his reputation's fucked already. Doesn't matter.
I expect Manson Nation to rally against the accusers at that point, making false statements. That's how it is now. It's all ridiculous. It sucks that people are allowed to maneuver and pull the shit they do, you know, like the Weinsteins and shit like that. And this is all in that same kind of vein. Yeah. There's money, there's power. He's making, generating money, so they don't want to lose that. So let's keep the sweep it under the rug kind of thing. So let's get him in court and figure it out. But I understand everything's got to be put on hold for now with it. You know, I'm not a fan of his, by the way. Don't get me wrong here. But, you know, you got to do it right. You got to go by the book here.
Before I get into this, I have this weird feeling there are a lot of like 90s teen parents taking a sip of their coffee right now, just going, mm-hmm, I told you so.
This is what I like to call my told you so dance. I told you so, 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 I told you so.
Parents hated Marilyn Manson when he came out in the 90s. He was a target from day one. Now, granted, he set himself up to be a target, the way he dressed, the way he acted, the way what he sang about, his topics, everything. His entire demeanor was put together. His persona was put together to cause controversy. Now, 30 years later, he's causing controversy in a way that I don't think he necessarily intended to, but it's serious shit, man. I hate this fucking shit. When I see it, when I hear it, I don't necessarily write off immediately the performer, but I don't necessarily go out, you know, wearing my Marilyn Manson t-shirt or whatever everywhere I go. I'm just not going to do it. For example, I wouldn't say I'm a Kevin Spacey fan, but I know he's had allegations against him for a few years now. I've never really seen anything come from that, though. It's just been allegations. I haven't heard of a court case. I haven't heard of a settlement. I haven't heard of anything. But I still enjoy the shit out of his work. He's one of the best actors of the late 20th century. His performances fascinate me. I cannot help it. Marilyn Manson is not that good of a performer for me. So I really don't give a shit about him. I hate when this shit happens. And it happens, in my opinion, way too much. These accusations come out way too often. The only good I can see about this is the fact that there are so many fucking repercussions that happen immediately. This guy's career is fucked. I don't care if he does get proven innocent later on, or however you say it. His career is fucked. Maybe 20 years down the road, people that are in his kind of position will look back at the Johnny Depps, at the Kevin Spaceys, at the Marilyn Mansons, and go, you know what? I'm going to be nice to these people because those guys had their careers fucked for one instance or one person coming out and then a train of people coming out saying they were abusive. Maybe I won't be an abusive prick, you know, but it's going to take time for it to get drilled in.
You know what's sad, though? You pointed that out. Just tells you how shitty Holly Weird is, man.
Let me tell you what I know about Marilyn Manson, because I had the unfortunate experience of witnessing a couple of his concerts over the years with him opening up for other bands I did want to see. This is what I viewed at a couple of concerts. I watched him abusing his own band. Like physically, like I watched him grab his bass player's nipple and twist it so hard. The guy was just like, he was screaming on stage and like he blew the song because it was in such pain. I watched Johnny Five throw his guitar down and square up going, come on, motherfucker, in a concert. And he had enough and he quit the band the next day. We've seen him on That Metal Show with Eddie Trunk drunk off absinthe and just acting like a complete fucking disrespectful asshole. So, I mean, it's not that out of the realm to believe. That's what I know. One guy's opinion, watching from the sidelines, Marilyn Manson antics, just in the public. And who right. the fuck knows what's going on behind closed doors?
That's kind of the point about this. It's not really news. We expect to hear something like this about Marilyn Manson. Now, if it had come out and it was like, Mr. Rogers was a child molester, that would be huge fucking news. Oh, great. I probably started a new QAnon conspiracy theory. Thanks. Great. Fuck you guys. But yeah, it's no fucking surprise that Marilyn Manson is an abuser. Now, Colonel, you mentioned this is the problem with Holly Weird. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm a little glass half full kind of person. Maybe that's me. But I don't like to think of a lot or a majority of Hollywood as being these kind of dickheads. I like to think that most of Hollywood acts like Tom Hanks, acts like Bill Murray, not Tom Hanks with the Wayfair bullshit, but just the way Tom Hanks treats his fans. I mean, you've seen the photos where Tom Hanks was at some restaurant and it was this guy's 21st birthday, and he's passed out at a table, and Tom Hanks just slides in with him and is like, hey, take some photos. Hey, happy birthday, motherfucker. I met all your friends, but not you, because you're passed out. It's not a dick thing. It's that guy's going to be remembered, and he's going to remember that, well, sort of, for the rest of his life. Bill Murray goes out and plays fucking kickball in Central Park with people on a regular basis.
Yeah, there's more than one bad apple in the bunch. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but fuck, there's a lot of that shit coming out of there. I mean, I'm not in conspiracy theorists. I'm not going to say, you know, they're fucking drinking blood and eating babies and all this other stupid shit you fucking hear. We lost Fangoria for a short time due to shit like this. So it's everywhere. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Seems like we all agree Creepshow made the right decision. There's only one way to go anymore with these kind of accusations. So guys, women, also, don't be a dick. Be nice. Quit abusing your friends, your lovers, your assistants, your castmates, your workers, whatever. Be nice.
And Corey Feldman, I'm sure not everybody in Hollywood has tried to fucking molest you. Stop being an attention whore. I don't believe you anymore.
Well, there's that too. Does anybody else want a pizza right now?
Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen. But we're also available on multiple other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to give us a like and a follow there, as well as YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, hit that notification bell, get updated to any new Death Curse Society videos, and be sure to visit our new and improved website, deathcursesociety.com. All your Death Curse Society needs in one stop.
Gang, our next episode is going to be February 25th. We've got a couple of more movies coming out from Shudder in that time. We're going to be reviewing Shook and After Midnight. So tune in for that. For the Colonel, for Zigzag, this is Red Crank saying DCS out, and we'll see you next time. Woo!
Hey, cursed motherfuckers!